find something of value.
The higher education community in South Africa and the unintellectualization.
How central this humanity is.
Welcome to The Academic Citizen. I'm your host, Nosipho Ngumezulu. I'm so excited to share with you our final episode in this seventh season based on papers presented at the Sound Matters Symposium in 2023. That symposium was hosted by the South African Research Chair in Science Communication, The Academic Citizen, and the South African Journal of Science. Over the course of 8 episodes, we traversed 3 continents and 2 islands to hear from a diverse array of researchers. So in episode 63, we heard from an astrophysicist sharing about the creative strategies of sonification of NASA's data. And in episode 64, we learned from a historian about listening for emotions in colonial archives. We took a deep dive with a sound artist navigating how to recreate a sense of historical place in episode 64. And in episode 66, we considered sound as museological objects with a portable museum curator. In episode 67, we spent time thinking with New Zealand-based wildlife filmmaker about nature soundscapes. And in episode 68, we got the inside scoop on the sartorial language of traditional dress with a fashion researcher and archivist. In our previous episode, episode 69, Professor Ikani reflected on the work of Dr. Julie Patrin-Yosen, a sociologist, filmmaker, and performer, about their work exploring water ecologies and audiovisual practice. They invited us to think differently about the ethics and aesthetics of litter. Today, in episode 70, we're going to spend time with Professor Alice Motion and listen to her presentation entitled Live from the Lab, Exploring the Communication of Science Through Contemporary Music. Professor Alice Motion is a chemist, producer, and science communicator based at the University of Sydney. Her interdisciplinary research focuses on finding ways to connect people with science and to make research more accessible. In 2020, Professor Motion was awarded the Eureka Prize for promoting public understanding of science. Alongside collaborators, Professor Motion initiated Nanosonic Stories, a project examining effective ways to communicating nanoscience to new audiences by using original compositions of music, soundscapes, and oral storytelling. Let's have a listen.
Fabulous. It's a pleasure to join you from Sydney. I'm on the lands of the Gadigal people this evening, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation, and I acknowledge this land as theirs. This always was and always will be Aboriginal land. Thank you so much for the opportunity to join this fantastic conference. It's been so inspiring. I'm really excited to be able to share some collaborative work from the University of Sydney and some inspiration for the start of this work, which is very much centered on science and sound, and really personally came from a love of sound, a love of music, and a joy in trying to connect my passion for science, particularly chemistry, with my love for radio. And through a wonderful partnership with a local community radio station, FBI Radio, where I presented a weekly science segment for about 6 years, and also had the opportunity to create an original science podcast for the ABC here in Australia, where, along with Bernie Hobbs, I played the role of a scientific agony ant trying to answer questions that had been written into magazines, but from the perspective of science. But it wasn't until a few years ago that we were able to gain some research funding and bring together an interdisciplinary research, education, and public engagement team. We very much see the lines between these areas as being incredibly blurred. And there are more people in this team now, but this is the key core emerging members who come from, all from the University of Sydney, but from chemistry, from museum and heritage studies, and from the Sydney Conservatorium of Music, which creates a lot of fun opportunities for our work. And I'm not going to speak about everything we've been up to today, because as we know, we're short on time, but two emergent projects from our team, which is funded originally by the Sydney Nano Institute, were explorations of sound and music in conjunction with science. One that really focused on the emotional aspects by partnering musicians, local musicians, with researchers from our institute to have conversations, which then led to new musical compositions inspired by those conversations. And this is really very much an emotional connection to science that's celebrated, although a lot of science meaning comes through too on occasion. And a second project that I really won't talk about today, which is the sonophore, something that we have made as a portmanteau of a sonic metaphor by trying to use soundscapes to assist audiences and students in building their own mental models of scientific concepts guided by soundscapes, narrated soundscapes. And we took the sonophore into a more public version through something we call Sonic Choir, whereby we create a script around a scientific topic and invite the public who join us to create the soundtrack or the soundscape for this script. Earlier this year, we put on this event at the Sydney World Pride Sydney Observatory. And we've also performed this at the music festival Splendour in the Grass. And my colleague, Alexis Weaver, is on the call today, who I've done much of this work with. So onto the main topic, we're going to talk about Live from the Lab today. This is a project that has filled us with so much joy. It actually emerged during the COVID restrictions here in Sydney, when we had a scramble to try and think about alternatives for in-person National Science Week events. And while everyone seemed to be thinking about putting things online, on Zoom, on Teams, I had a chat with some colleagues, including Cassandra Chester and some other friends at the university, and suddenly realized, you know, the radio has been doing a pretty good job at reaching people who are in different places for a very long time. Why don't we use the medium of the radio as a way to connect people? We won a small amount of research funding, or actually public engagement funding, and we decided that we wanted to use all of the funding that we were awarded to pay musicians and artists who had lost work during the COVID pandemic. And we quickly put together these Zoom conversations, 90-minute guided conversations between the musicians and the scientists. And I acted as the interlocutor for those conversations to try and make sure that the scientists didn't get too technical, but also that the music didn't get too technical, so that we could try and make some meaning and understanding through these conversations. And then the new tracks were debuted every morning of National Science Week in Australia, which is in August, on the radio. And the feature that I think was very special is, as well as talking about the science and the musicians' process, the scientists heard the tracks for the very first time together with the audience to the station. So we heard their reaction, often quite an emotional reaction, to the track live on air, which gave this a real, I think, a more personal side to the scientists that we don't often see in the public. And also the joy and wonder of science, but this joy of being given a gift. I mean, how precious a gift to be given a piece of music that has been created for you, a bespoke piece. It doesn't happen to all of us, certainly not about our research or the work that we're passionate about. Move forward a couple of years. The format of this event was restricted a little while for COVID, but we were able to put on two events last year. One was an in-conversation event, which we held in a theatre, and we invited the researchers and the musicians to come and be part of, for want of a better description, a little bit more like a chat show event. But we also listened. We had a deep listening to each of the tracks. Some of them we listened to the recorded version. Some of them we had live performance. But the idea was to give equal time to the scientists and to the musicians to talk about the research, but really to try and engage new audiences with this process through the vehicle of music. And all of the artists chosen, selected, were on rotation on FBI Radio, which is targeted at 18 to 24-year-olds and does some fantastic work in promoting Australian music. And we also, as well as this event, which was just so lovely to hear from the different perspectives, we also hosted a gig, which gave the time really exclusively to the musicians, and they played short sets, but within their sets, they embedded their Live from the Lab track and said a few words before they played it about what that meant to them. So we got sort of two different audiences here. Of course, there was some overlap, but some people just came to the gig. They came to this musical event because their favorite band was playing, and others would have gone to the more science-focused event. And then we had this crossover of, we haven't analyzed this with research, but just through sort of interactions with the audience, we saw people who were coming along to music events that they might not have usually come to, but also folks who are going to a science event that they might not usually have come across to. And that's a large part of what we're trying to achieve in this project. So we do have some research ethics which have enabled us to interview some of the musicians and some of the scientists who took part in this project. We also have the tracks, which are going to be or in the process of being analyzed by some musicologists within the team. And we also have podcasts and interviews that are publicly available. But one of the themes that I just wanted to pick out for discussion today is this strong theme of creativity, which isn't surprising to me, but it's just so delightful to see this coming through, of this shared creative process. And again, I don't feel like I need to say this to this audience at all, but we often have within our cultural context this idea of science or art and music as being at odds or different to each other or deeply contrasting. And while they can be at times, it's really interesting to see that both endeavors are deeply creative processes. So these little icons, the conical flask denotes a scientist, the musical notes denote a musician. But I think it was really interesting to hear ideas coming through, such as I think of science as an art, and that's said by a scientist, and then a musician saying there's a lot of mathematical stuff that goes on. I don't know about you, but for me, I feel like geometry is really important in music. So some of these concepts coming through. Then there were some things about the process. So my partnered artist would take one thread of our conversation and sort of follow it through and use that as a spark. And then the musician saying that they felt inspired after speaking to the researcher. And this was a common theme that emerged from our discussions, was that for many of the musicians, they felt it was sort of easy to write this song with this prompt and this connection in a way that they'd maybe thought it was going to be particularly challenging to write a song about something associated with science that most of them hadn't done before as part of their process. So we were also really interested in multidisciplinarity as a team who are really from across many disciplines. And I was really interested to see coming through from a scientist, a physicist, that multidisciplinarity is much bigger than collaboration solely between scientists. It really can span cross-disciplinary perspectives. And here we had the importance of this to broaden my viewpoint, broaden my perspective on how I go about multidisciplinary activities. And similarly, scientists who've done a lot of science communication work but hadn't done any sort of interdisciplinary collaboration in this way and had felt really quite uplifted from the process. I also wanted to share something of the emotional connection. I mentioned often I found myself quite emotional while on the radio with the researchers and the musicians. I can be a little bit of a softie, but I'd feel the emotions, that the hair pricking up on the back of my neck as I sort of saw and heard them reacting to the piece. But the scientists who shared, they had a really strong emotional response to the music, particularly in terms of how much effort the musicians had put through and trying to bring the science through the music. And for the musicians, we had some very interesting reflections, including this, talking about thinking about writing something that's bigger than just me. So this was actually a really wonderful project for me, and I really, really enjoyed it. So I'll say thank you for all of you who organized this, to brought this group of people together. There are many papers that are seeded and on the way that we would love to share with this community. This team is growing, and we're very grateful for the funding and for the support of our institution and the way that this project is growing. I'm going to share a clip from one of our musician collaborations that actually tends towards a bit more of a sciencey frame, a rather marvelous video clip made during some of the lockdowns here in Sydney when we had to cancel our performance. And this track is by the Sydney-based band Baby Beef. It's called Golden Trauma, and it's inspired by some research by Dr. Jonathan Dannon, who's from the School of Chemistry here at the University of Sydney.
Oh, I never told myself to breathe. I guess I never felt the need, but something's telling me to breathe. Through the cracks in my skin, letting half the world in, and the other half is waiting. So patiently they're telling me it's gonna.
What do you get when you partner science researchers from the University of Sydney and musicians? Well, you get Baby Beef's electrifying bop, Gold in Trauma. Baby Beef takes us on a synth-laden journey with nostalgic sonics and experimentation. The music video is this trippy journey into a kaleidoscope of color and luminous neural networks. An ideal merger with Dr. Jonathan Dennen's cellular research into the treatment of neuroinflammation. This, I came to learn, is the inflammation of the nervous tissue, and his research examines the drugs needed to be able to better see what's going on in the brain. Speaking on Live from the Lab podcast, band member Hewitt Cook recalls speaking to Dr. Dennen, who used the word seductive in reference to the research. And for the musician, this opened up an emotional door for the artist to be able to work into the development of this track. For the past week, I found myself humming this funky 80s-influenced pop jam investigating metaphors for pain that creatively blends affect and science. You don't have to be a neuroscientist or a musician to understand that sound moves us to feel. Bruno Latour tells us this, that the reception of seemingly universal knowledge is deeply shaped by the values and local circumstances of speakers and listeners. From climate change catastrophe to COVID-19 pandemic, we have all firsthand witnessed the psychological aspects of public understanding of science. Dr. Hofer's work on epistemic cognition, or how people develop their attitudes about knowledge and knowing, as well as the psychological explanation for science denial, doubt, and resistance, argues that researchers are simply not the only epistemic authorities who exist in people's lives. Her work echoes Professor Motion's presentation on how emotion and social relation play a significant role in how we create, share, and take in knowledge. Science is often complex to understand, but Professor Motion and the team at Nanosonic Stories draw on a diverse set of epistemic authorities to find creative ways to walk the tightrope of what David Graeber might call self-subverting authority of teachers. The science-music collaboration makes complex research accessible to wider publics within and outside the university, and invites folks to participate in the sharing of knowledge. Our minds can be remarkably resistant to new information, especially information that challenges and even contradicts its existing beliefs. Music can be one strategy to contend with complexity of information and issues of confirmation bias. Dispelling the misconception that when we pair art and science, art becomes merely a pretty carrier for the robust insights made by scientists. This project doesn't treat art as an additive, but an invaluable part of the process of experimentation and research dissemination. With the pairing of Baby Beef's unique sonic stylings and Professor Jonathan Dannen's cutting-edge research on the treatment of brain disease, what emerges is a creative learning exchange of expertise and craft to produce mind-bending and unexpected harmony. In our previous episode, Professor Ikane introduced us to Homo detritus, while Alice Mershon's work gives me hope for a 21st century Homo academicus and the rich repertoire of tools and practices available to us to think with when we take sound seriously. We at the Academic Citizen are invested in the multidisciplinary research potential of sound, and we believe now, more than ever, it is imperative to pay close attention to what we listen to and how we listen, because sound matters. It has been a delicious delight to continue to learn from this cohort of scholars who participated in the first Sound Matters Symposium. We hope this season has given you a taste of the many boundary-pushing strategies to think with and through sound. This episode of The Academic Citizen was written and hosted by me, Nosipho Mezulu. It was produced and promoted by Fumani Dwaga and edited by Andre Burnett. Our opening jingle was designed by Victoria De La Harp. The Academic Citizen is funded by the South African Research Chair in Science Communication, which in turn is funded by the South African National Research Foundation. We thank Professor Alice Mershon for their presentation at the Sound Matters Symposium in 2023. And we are just so, so grateful for all the researchers who shared their incredible sounds, who shared their incredible research and their time in making the symposium a success. You can listen to all our episodes, including our archives of previous seasons, at www.theacademiccitizen.org. And you can follow us on all the socials at The Academic Citizen. We welcome feedback and invitations of collaborations at our email address, theacademiccitizen@gmail.com. We'll see you next season. Thank you for being with us. Bye for now.